Good afternoon. All right. Thank you for attending. I really appreciate that. I'm here to talk about our Skype story, deploying Skype at Kelly Services. First, a little bit about me. I'm thankfully erect today. I had a little accident on Tuesday, coming down one of the stairs, and my ankle blew up to about twice the size, so I was rolling around in a wheelchair on Tuesday and then watching live streams yesterday, so I'm very thankful to be back and erect. A little bit about me. I'm the IT manager for Global Messaging and Collaboration Solutions at Kelly. I've been with Kelly for 14 years. I've got experience in messaging and collaboration from working directly for companies and also doing consulting. Kelly is based in Troy, Michigan. And a little bit about Kelly. In 2 weeks, Kelly's gonna become 60. A good happy birthday for us. There's not all, when you think about companies being around for 60 years, it just doesn't happen all that often. But so really thankful for that. We're a Fortune 500 company. We did $5.5 billion in sales last year. We operate in 650 different branches in 32 different countries. And what's interesting, you'll see throughout the presentation, is that 650 number will keep going down, not up. We're seeing a lot more not really being branch-focused, but more being allowing our folks to work from anywhere. But the key point here, too, is that Kelly has supported either directly, we placed 550,000 people last year, and indirectly, we placed over a million and a half people, putting people to work. So it's really a rewarding to a job. But a little bit about some of the things that really Kelly kind of specializes in is really understanding what's happening in the workforce. What's the trends? What kind of things are happening? You probably already know baby boomers are starting to retire, and that drop is going to be very significant. There's going to be a bigger shift in the work population in the next 20 years in the reverse of what we saw 20 years previous. And when you think about that, is you talk about women going to work and all of that kind of thing. So what we're going to see is a dramatic shift and a dramatic loss in a number of workers. The other thing that you'll notice too is that college education rates are actually going down, not up, and it's particularly in the STEM area. So it's going to be very challenging putting talented people to work. Kind of an overall look at what that trend's going to look like as we go around from different countries, but really the things to point out is you'll see Europe, particularly in red, and that Europe's going to shrink, its workforce is going to shrink by 75 to 100 million people by 2050. You're seeing a huge aging population in Japan. Even in the areas where there's growth, Brazil has growth, but Brazil also has a very low level of higher education. India is the other country, and its working age is going to swell as well, but that's probably the only other growth country in terms of a workforce. So this is kind of our analysis of where we think everything's going. What we're hearing from the Generation X to Generation Y is that more of the model now is becoming a free agent. It's not working for one company. It's basically marketing yourself around. And when we look at it, it's a varying blend. You see there's independent contractors, and then there's freelance. You got moonlighters and temporary workers. But what you're seeing is that is going to become a much bigger piece of the pie. So Kelly kind of understanding where those trends are going, we had to really kind of think about, well, what kind of things from a technology standpoint do we need to do to attract workers to us? So what we had to do is really kind of develop a strategy. And this is a strategy that we've been working on probably for the last 10 years. And the first one was we had to centralize. We had to get to one platform. And directory really was the key, right? We had to know where everybody was, who was scheduled for what, wherever they were. We also adopted a cloud first, and you probably have seen that throughout a lot of the presentations that you've seen this week, is that a lot of companies have shifted that way. Kelly's been in the cloud now for 12 years, so we've been in the cloud for quite a while. We also had to focus on, we have to take out of the box solutions. We have to get out of the mode of customizing, and we have to be able to rapidly adopt the software as new releases come out. Obviously, you probably have seen throughout the week too that all of the things in the cloud, that the rapidity of change is immense. The other thing is information sharing and an instant reach. We need to be able to really instantly contact anybody from anywhere, wherever they are in the world. So that was a key part of our strategy. We also recognized that folks were going to be connecting from multiple devices, multiple platforms, whether it was going to be so we had to, whether it's a personal, whether it's a company, or whether it's a customer that's provided that asset to the individual to work from. So that presents its own challenges in terms of getting software on those on those systems for them to be able to conduct their business. So again, cloud is really moved us very heavily into that space and has really helped us achieve that strategy. We also needed to be able to integrate it into line of business applications. We run a lot of things based on email. It's really interesting. I had to present a slide on that to our upper management about how dependent is Kelly on email and all of the different systems that email will come into and flow into all of our various front office applications was absolutely enlightening for them to understand that truly we operate today a lot of our business based on the reliability of email. What are some of the challenges that we've seen as we've gone and moved into the cloud? Well, the first thing I think was the loss of control, the ability to customize. We had to give it away. We had to basically say, well, look, we won't have that degree of control anymore. Also, some of the concerns was well, what's Microsoft's maturity and being able to deliver a service, and is it reliable? One of the slides you'll see next is that's been a very improving trend from them. But balance, we had to balance the speed to market versus being able to enterprise support it, and that's always going to be a key challenge too. From how rapidly do you develop, how rapidly do you roll out your applications. The other big challenge that you're going to face is managed and unmanaged networks. We can do a lot of management if you're on a managed network, on our network, but when you're not, you're going to get varying results, and there's not a lot of influence from an IT perspective that we can do to improve that experience. So we needed to have reliability, and we needed to have you connecting into the Microsoft cloud and getting an egress point into that as quickly as possible. We already talked about the mobile device and all of the platforms, integration again with the line of business apps, and then there's training challenges. How do we get folks trained on the rapid changes? So we've had to adopt a lot of providing a lot of self-support, a lot of videos, and feeding a lot of content, and asking our folks to learn independently on their own. how has it gone for us? When Microsoft asked me to present this, they said, don't cover up the truth. And this kind of reflects some of that truth, is because we adopted BPOS back in 08. So in 2010, this would have been the way I graded how well did Microsoft deliver services in the cloud. The capability, again, it was oversold and underdelivered. Where are we today? Well, it went from a D minus to a B plus. So a significant improvement. Reliability, significant improvement. I remember the days, and I'm still even amazed sometimes that I still have a job, because there were so many times that we lost service and the reliability just wasn't there. I move it all the way up to an A minus. It's been a rock solid the last 3 years, at least 3 to 4 years. Support staff and their knowledge and their being able to respond to issues, an absolute F back in 2010. Today, I would give it a B. They're a lot more responsive, address issues more quickly. You're talking to more skilled folks that are able to deliver answers in a much better and quicker fashion. Their ability to listen to the voice of the customer and be flexible. We also, as I said before, I mean, we wanted to make sure that we didn't have out of the box. We knew we weren't going to be able to do customization, but there needed to be some flexibility in a product that we could accomplish our goals and meet requirements within the software. So it was key that there was a listening. And that was the interesting thing in our journey, is that it was a D minus back then, but we really have had a significant influence in terms of our voice to Microsoft and making this service better. And I would give that now a B plus. The other thing you really will get bid on is network performance. How good is the network? Where I'm connecting from and going to? And I put two grades on there. I put the blue for Microsoft and the green for Kelly, because in this regard, we blew it. Right, we didn't know what we had to do to tune up, to make sure that our network could perform and get to the cloud reliably. So we've moved that from a D to a B. The performance from a Microsoft perspective, they rated well, but they've even increased that. I would give them an A for that. Network interoperability, again, Microsoft communicated very well to us about what do you need to do. You need to getting through our network and through our firewalls and web proxies, but we didn't do well with it, right? So we would have gotten an F, and now we've learned a lot. We use a proxy in a cloud solution, which was probably part of that change for us, was we're moving everything we've got into the cloud, and that was one of them, was the web proxy, and that was probably our biggest challenge, but why we've gone from an F to a B. Integration with our line of business apps, there was always a pretty good level of flexibility there, so we were able, I would give that a B minus, and we upstepped that up, kind of talked about some of the applications that we kind of tie into today, so I would give it a very good score. Non-Microsoft platforms, a C at the beginning, and I would give it a B plus now. We'd like to see more adoption. The Apple trend, we're a big Apple shop, so especially on the mobile device end of things, so we're really happy to see the significant emphasis that's being placed on that platform for us. Release and change control communication, absolute F back in 2010, but still just a C. So I think the communication and our change control can still improve. Local account support and escalation, a D minus. It was horrible. We've gone to a B plus. We basically established new local account support and worked with them. This is really, I can't emphasize enough, is so much of the model of working with Microsoft in the cloud is so much different than buying software and then implementing software. It's got to be much more of a partnership than it was in the past. How do we use Skype? Which is really what we're here for, right? I've kind of went through a lot of things, but we're really here to talk about how, well, what are we doing with Skype? Well, we're doing instant messaging, obviously. We like the fact that it's easy to launch, start new tenants, add new users. We got significant year over year. We add people, we take people out, and it's really been very flexible in terms of from a licensing standpoint and from an administration standpoint that we can roll people in and out of our directory quite easily. Global town halls. This one was a big one. We used Skype for broadcast in this, and we just started that when they rolled it out last year. And it's been a game changer for us. We're able now to conduct town halls throughout the world. We had a lot of challenges, so we have town halls where we've got 1,200 people that are expected to watch a town hall. And what we had in a past solutions, we didn't have anything that could scale that big. Right? We had telephone support, which is pretty much how a lot of the town halls are being conducted, but we could max out at 300, so we couldn't even reach everybody. So now with broadcast, we're able to now reach those 1,200 folks. And what's really cool about it is that they don't have to watch it real time. They can watch it real time or near real time, but they can also watch it if it's being presented in the US, and we've got folks that are in Singapore. They don't have to be up at night watching a town hall. They can get up in the morning and then they can play that town hall. We're really excited to see with what they're also announcing, what Gurdeep has announced also with it, is that it's now it's got the ability to translate. So it'll play, I mean, you'll hear the English, but it'll transcribe it and change it to whatever language. Again, getting that comprehension back within those town halls. Candidate interviewing, that's been a huge plus for us. We've saved significant costs by having our recruiters interviewing our candidates, audio, video, not flying them in, not flying to them, but conducting Skype meetings, just audio, video meetings. But the cool thing there is that the recruiter's using Skype for Business and the candidate's using Skype, something that they've used for a long time. They're very familiar with the interface and it just works. So it's been extremely successful with that. Integration again with line of business applications. We're looking at what kind of things can we do with that from a Skype perspective. We definitely see the presence has been huge as we move them through some of our line of business apps. One of the points here is the one roaming number to any device, irrespective of where you're working, and that's been huge for us. So we really started now. Down the path of 9 months ago, we started moving to Skype Phone. So we've got all of our IT staff, and now we're working through our corporate locations, and we're rolling Skype Phone out, taking off their desk phone, giving them a Skype number, and then allowing them to work from anywhere and being able to be reached from anywhere. And giving them the control about setting up their voicemail, setting up their call forwarding, setting up a simul ring to their mobile device as a backup if they don't have their Skype client in front of them. It's been huge in terms of being able to achieve that goal of being able to reach anyone at any time from wherever they are. What are some of the things that we want to do with Skype in the future? As we roll more, so we keep pushing and say, we need more countries, we need to be able to provide Skype phones within all of our locations, so that's huge for us. We don't want to invest in any more telephony. We want to give them a Skype phone and allow them to run with it. whiteboarding conferences. We've had some whiteboarding solutions in different, but they're really clunky that we've found. So we've got a couple of Surface Hubs now that we're starting to go through that phase of conducting a whiteboard, but it's making the feedback we're getting and using the hub has been, hey, I understand this interface. It's got a Skype interface. I can walk up to it, and I can start whiteboarding, and I can send off that whiteboard context. I can do all of the things about desktop share. I can do all of the things. It's just one big Skype client to me. So it's gotten a lot of positive feedback. We also want to use broader use of video. Interesting is that we had, when the Olympics were around, we had a video contest that was open to everybody within Kelly. And what we did is our CEO challenged everybody, come up with a creative video about anything, whatever, if it's something you do at work, even if it's something you do personally, but come up with a video and share your story. So we got 500 videos from different people submitting videos, and we put them into Office 365 video, and basically folks would watch the video, and then they would score and rate which video won. So we had different categories, but it was kind of a fun exercise and really kind of helped demonstrate really the power of being able to share content via video rather than just text. More integration with our technology partners. So each time now that we look at other technologies that we need to adopt, fundamentally they need to be we need to integrate them into Skype. We need to integrate them into Exchange so that we can operate seamlessly, and we're lessening that learning curve for our users. Audit. We want to see automated and response and call control, and you saw this week too that's now in a preview state. That's big for us. Candidly, we'd like to see a little bit more out of the automated response, because what we've got in our branch locations are we have either a PBX or we have a competing voice cloud provider that we need to have a simple IVR where a call, you can call into one number and then get routed into whatever specialty department within that branch that the person's trying to reach. But again, lowering our telephony cost. The last point, I've had some discussions, so I don't know if I'm even allowed to say it, but they say this is coming, and it's a big miss in the current version of Skype for Broadcast, which is the ability to present desktop sharing to the attendees. But I understand it is coming in the first of next year, which is big for us. So we were able to do our town halls, but we weren't able to do desktop sharing, which would be even more powerful for us. Some of my tips, or what we've done within Kelly, how to reduce our bad experiences. First thing is as folks move to unmanaged networks, whether they're working from home or a Starbucks or whatever the case might be, we ask them to use the Fast Track Network Analyzer. How good is your connection? You don't want to start a call with a candidate when you know you've got on a bad network and it's going to be a bad experience. We want you to, if you're on a network you've never been on before, we want you to test it and make sure that network is sufficient. You get the bars in the Skype client and all of that, but it's really important that that we educate our users on how that there are varying degrees of what you're going to see for network performance, so you need to be aware of that. We also fight with the challenge of, do we do express route or do we do packet shaping? We have not gone down the express route standpoint, so we're purely going out to the internet. In our large locations, we're packet shaping, so we're basically sending out our packets based on the same kind of priorities that Express Route gets, which is audio first, video second, and content third. To do Skype Phone, we had to dramatically increase in our corporate campus the number of wireless access points. Can't emphasize enough, more and more devices are coming into the offices, into our spaces, and we need to be able to facilitate all of those devices. So you need lots and lots of wireless access points so that the quality of the network is good. I can't emphasize enough is that when you go into a new location and when we roll out Skype Phone specifically, is that we need to be able to test, adjust, and pilot. We did that with our desktop sharing and our video, but with Skype for Phone, it becomes even more critical, right? That quality of that connection is good, so that there's a good audio experience. So you definitely have to make sure that you test, adjust, pilot, and then assess. But do that for each location. I mentioned this before, which is you need to educate folks on when you've got an unmanaged network. How do I manage that? Or what are my backups? So you've got backups of, we tell them, have a cell phone. That's a backup for your audio. You can also, we've equipped them with teleconference so they can use an audio bridge so they have a bad connection, right, again, to do that. The other thing on the audio, or on the video rather, is using Stream or Office 365 video and stream that content to those users, because the clients, that's really the key thing about broadcast, is that the attendee experience is so much easier. You don't have to worry about having a great network connection. You don't have to worry about whether they've got a Skype client issue. They just basically can play that audio or that video and just play it, and the software itself will adjust based on what kind of bandwidth. So it will, you know, lessen the quality or it'll cache that and delay its delivery so that it's an acceptable experience when they're watching that video. The other thing that we're also looking at is the operations framework, and you might have seen that in some of the sessions throughout Ignite this week, is that as we work through this, it's good to see that they've now understand some of those challenges and kind of have a framework for us to follow as we continue our deployment of voice into other locations. The other thing that we're also very much looking forward to is seeing all of the Skype Advanced analytics. Just by show of hands, did anyone go to Gurdeep's general session after the keynote on Monday? Well, most of you. Anyways, they showed this one was really, really pretty cool, because they basically can show right down to the call, right to the device they were connecting with. I mean, it's amazing the amount of analytics you can get. So if the CIO or the CEO is calling and said, I had a horrible connection, you can really drill right to that particular conversation and see why. A little bit about what my team does at Kelly. So I'm responsible for all of the Office 365 suite. So this is just kind of a snapshot of what we do every day, the volumes that we deal with. And one of the other challenges also was that as we moved more and more of our services to the cloud, it became more and more important for us as an organization to realign our resources to fit with that. So what I did is I put this slide together that shows this is what we were doing in 2009 for services. This is what in each year, these are things we've added to the number of services now that's part of Office 365 or part of what my team is delivering today. And what you'll see is there's an awful lot of stuff in 16, 17. And most of the things in 17 have been there. We just haven't realigned our resources to the degree where we can even lend support to that. So you're gonna see, I think, that trend is that this slide's pretty telling in terms of what's being added. And last but not least.
Last year alone, we found 1.5 million jobs for people. Our business is service. I mean, we don't sell a product. It's all about the people.
It's important for Kelly Services employees to be able to respond faster to our customers' requests. If our teams can't find the right talent the fastest, our competitors get the business.
Our business responds faster with Skype for Business because we can instantly communicate. We can instant message, we can start up a call immediately, interact with a document that somebody had created.
Skype for Business has enabled us to really capture that top talent quickly, cutting out time from the process. In our business, time is critical. Talent doesn't stay on the market very long. It's one thing to have a conversation by phone. It's a whole nother connection to be able to see that individual. My hiring managers may have sites with a national customer that are in California and they live in New Jersey. With Skype for Business, it's immediate.
It's integrated to a consumer Skype client, so they don't need to install software to get an audio or video call going. Now we're moving into the universe of PSTN calling. It simply gives a number to a user where that number will follow them anywhere. It's gonna save us cost because we're gonna be able to deliver telephony without infrastructure needed to support a phone system.
We're really excited about the opportunities with Skype meeting broadcast.
We're able to now conduct town halls across the globe.
With Skype meeting broadcast, they're able to pause if they have to take a phone call. They're able to replay it at a time that's convenient for them, but still feel connected as part of One Kelly.
I can watch a Skype broadcast from my mobile device, and being able to do that really at no cost.
People don't have to have two connections anymore. They used to have to connect on their laptop and then an audio bridge. Now it's only one. It's just easy.
Skype for Business allows us to make those instant contacts and to be able to deliver an answer back to a customer and keep business, win business. It's a key driver for us.
The people are genuinely passionate about putting people to work and about doing great things every day.
So empowering their ability to do things is paramount. We're putting over 1 million people to work, and that's very rewarding.
So just a quick video on is something that we produced with Microsoft, and they've got that video posted in some of their sites. But it kind of told the Kelly story and about how we've deployed Skype today. So I wanted to leave a lot of time for questions, and because I think that's probably what you're most interested in is as you start or wherever you are in the journey to the cloud. What questions do you have? Lots of questions and all good ones and relevant ones. In terms of the cost is not, and it's interesting because Microsoft would constantly say, well, put something in, let's talk about what cost do we save and all of that kind of thing. And we didn't focus on cost, to be perfectly honest with you. We know we're getting significant cost savings, but we looked at this more of what additional functionality we're providing. Right? And it's exponential. I mean, we're providing a lot more than we did before, and we're doing it at less cost. But we really didn't focus to say, I've got a specific number for you about how much that saved us. You know, we've just had to basically realign some resources in different areas, improve our networks kind of thing. So those are investments we had to make to go this path. But really, from a functionality standpoint, it's been huge. I think one of your other questions was, how do you deal with all of the change, especially in exchange and all of that? It's a very fine line and a very difficult thing to adjust to. Coming from a background where you had complete control, right? I know exactly when I'm going to upgrade, what it's going to do. I'm going to be able to communicate that. I can tweak it. If it breaks, I can go fix it. All of those things are big questions that always come to mind, that you kind of lose that control. And that's kind of what I talked about a little bit earlier. So it's difficult to deal with the change. And that's why they don't get a good grade in terms of change communication, because they are still changing things without communicating. But I see improvement. I mean, they do have a dashboard, and they do have a release every week. They talk about the things that are going to be added. We also spend a lot of time in conversations with our local account team. Here are issues that we have. Here are things we want to see in the product. So we do a lot of things in that regard as well. And when things, like you rolled something out in a big surprise and it impacted us, that hurts. How do we stop that? So we work with them heavily. We work with the product groups quite a bit to make sure that they kind of understand where we're coming from. How many people know about user voice? No hands. User voice is, to me, when I talk about Microsoft in 09 and Microsoft today, the biggest shift that I've seen is the transparency. User voice is about, here are my beefs, here are the things I want to see in the product. And user voice is about going out there and posting what you want to see in the product or what you don't like about it and voting on it. So you're basically given, each service line has got their own site, and you've got so many votes that you got 25 votes that you can vote on. And what Microsoft will do with all of that data is they'll look for the things that are getting the most votes. And they'll address those things first. And then once they have addressed that particular issue, they'll give you your votes back, and now you can go vote on something else. To me, that's enormous, right? Because it always used to be whoever the biggest company in the block was would get what they want, and the little guy, forget it. Right, so we were too little, right, to really affect change. So us really kind of getting into the space early has helped us have a voice. But user voice is really lets anyone have that voice. Has worked? Yes. I mean, we've had a number of experiences. We've got. Part of what we do with our self-support site is that we had challenges. We'd build pages and we'd build videos inside of those pages, but it was searching for that content, and we did it in SharePoint, but we constantly had to tweak the filters and the indexes and all of that to deliver meaningful results. So what we did is when Delve came out, we said, wow, Delve could really answer or really address the issue of us not needing to work on that anymore. It will do its own indexing, and I'll be able to find documents. But so one of the things that it didn't have is it didn't have the ability to post that web page on a board in Delve. So we put out a request. We threw a lot of people and said, vote on this. And it was a matter of 20 days that somebody got on it. We could then post those pages to the board. So now when we go into Delve, we tell our users, do help Skype in Delve. And immediately what you see is all of the documents that we've created for Skype in our self-support site. So that's an example that I've got for you on how we've seen that work. Other questions?
What's the ratio of your Skype adoption from PSTM perspective?
The ratio in terms of how many we rolled?
How many traditional PBX do you have? Has everyone converted to Skype for business as their telephone?
We very much have started that journey, so we've got really all of our IT staff was the first. We wanted to be, let's try it on ourselves first. And now what we've done is we've just rolled out a program we call Kelly Anywhere. And Kelly Anywhere said, we're going to renovate our corporate office space. We're going to take out all the office cubes and all of that. We're going to renovate the entire floor. And what we're going to do is make it a hotel and a collaboration space. So we're going to let our users, if they want to come to the building today and do work, or they want to work from home, they want to work from a Starbucks, we don't care, right? We're giving them that ability to work from anywhere. But it's that Skype phone is key to that, right? So when you sign up for Kelly Anywhere, you get a Skype phone. We take your desk phone away and we give you a Skype phone. Now we can reach you from anywhere. So that's how we're rolling it out next. Then what we're doing then after that is then we're going to look for the people that aren't participants in the Kelly Anywhere program and say, we're going to start taking out phones because we want to save the cost on the PBX hardware that's there. In our branch locations, we're all over the map. And one of the things that I tell Microsoft this all the time, I said, whenever we have where we've got to replace a voice system in one of our branches, we'll replace it with something, but we got to have something to replace it with. And when we replace it, it's a 3-year contract minimum when we put that in. You're losing business because we can't do that in Singapore. We can't do that, you know, in Germany. So we keep push. We need more countries on. So we're able now, as we're starting with the UK. But so that's key for us too. But we're really kind of just let us get into these countries. And one of the other things that's kind of, I kind of mentioned it a little bit, was that we needed to have when you call a branch, basically we've got, we've been replacing in the US branches, we've been putting in a competing cloud service that has some IVR to it. So I call the number, press 1, you get this department, press 2. So those are the things that we need you to get that into the product for us, so that we can then say we don't have to go to another product. Our goal is try to get to one.
So what's your roadmap? Like, when do you expect to have complete penetration across all your locations? Are you looking at anything with other providers who might be able to provide you local PSTN numbers in other regions, or are you going to wait for Microsoft to get to the point where you're looking for
those? Yeah, we're going to wait. Right? I mean, our goal in the end is we want to get down to one. We want to make this seamless because I've got one directory, right? And I can find anybody in Kelly wherever they are, know what their presence is. I can reach them. They can define, right? If they don't have the Sky client on, I can turn it on and say, well, I'll forward it to my phone or simul ring my phone or whatever. They're now in control, and that's big. Most of it was related to our network, honestly, was a little bit of a mess. We had vendors doing lots of different things. We had different firewall providers in different locations. So we had to get our house in order to get standardized. And when we did that, we went to a proxy in the cloud service. We now have moved into the firewall in the cloud service as well. So we've kind of now said, hey, anytime that there's a change and I need, say, Microsoft adds capacity or whatnot, so that the one recurring thing you'll hear a lot is if your network doesn't adjust to the fact that the world in the cloud is constantly changing, and if you've got such, you know, policy setting on your network, that you've got to consistently update those and say, now I've got to be able to connect to this environment. You'll struggle with that a lot. So by us going to these solutions, it's not even now based on capacity. It's now based on this cloud provider's basically looks at that traffic, and they've now got a significant customer base that is using Office 365, so they can see that traffic, and they basically look at the traffic that's happening. And that traffic, right, say, oh, yeah, that's 365 traffic, that's good. I mean, that's okay, let it through. So that to us has probably been the biggest thing, is that we can go now change a we can change a routing rule in one spot and have that and then take effect globally.
So did that impact your user adoption rate when you were running through those issues before? People were less likely to use it? And then if so, how did you re-enlist trust with your employees to get them to come back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely was that our users went through a lot of that change, a lot of that hurt, and we needed to get it right. And that's why with voice, we know we've got to get it. We really can't guinea pig on it like we did on the other things, right? The voice we got to get right, because if that experience between me calling, talking to my customer or talking to a candidate is bad, the volume of the noise and the upset user base is going to get even more upset, more so than they would, you know, if they lost their email for 5-10 minutes.
Hey, thanks for sharing your experience here. Did you leverage any services from Microsoft or some of the partners for adoption or deployment or even onboarding, anything like Fast Track or MCS or a partner?
Well, since we've been, right, we started in our cloud adventure with BPOS, so there was no such thing as Fast Track or anything else. So we were very much on our own in a lot of things. When you talk, one of the things I didn't even point out is that Kelly's culture from the beginning was we're a pioneer, right? We're the first staffing company. We're the first workforce solutions provider. So we've had some culture there that said we're willing to accept some pain for the benefit in the end. So it helped in that some of our culture was based on that. That answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Well, thank you all for attending. I really appreciate that.